Good to be back tonight. It's good to see you guys back. We were in prep last week. I told Bruce just go ahead and take my part this month. And I got thinking about it. I looked at the schedule and he had every Sunday night. And I thought, well, that isn't quite fair. I got a sermon ready. I texted him this week and said, I'll go ahead and do the sermon. He texted me a thumbs up and a smiley face and said, go for it. So here we are. I've titled this The Old Toolbox. Bruce was quite trying to question me what it was all about. He gave me a plug this morning. I appreciated that. Basically, what we want to talk about tonight is what's in our toolbox and what's in God's toolbox. When we think about our toolbox, I looked in mine. I've got pliers. I've got a crescent wrench. I got vice grips. I got flathead screwdrivers. I got Phillips screwdrivers. I got a little socket set. I got a ball peen hammer. I got a claw hammer. I got a hacksaw. I got a little handsaw. So all kinds of different tools, right? And then I thought about it for a minute. You got to have duct tape. Duct tape fixes everything. My dad used to say if you had some baling wire and a pair of pliers, you could fix anything on the farm. Today we use duct tape to do the same thing. But those are things that are in our toolbox. And if I were to ask the question, because it slipped my mind also, what's in your toolbox? You'd name pretty much the same kind of stuff. But what I forgot here is the Bible. That should be in our spiritual toolbox, along with all the tools we use in our everyday life. So we look at this in that kind of that direction. Most of you in here, I think, probably can appreciate a well-stocked toolbox. If you've got the right tool, most generally, the job becomes easier. Some have workshops, a well-stocked workshop. Some jobs, as I mentioned, they can be easily done, quickly done, most times if you have the right tool. Some people are meticulous about every tool. Has to be assigned a certain spot. Has to hang on a certain peg. Has to be accounted for. My dad was that way. Out in the garage, we had pegboard, and we had pegs coming out of it, and every tool had its own little spot. And if one was gone, you better have an answer where it is. Being meticulous about things. So this lesson basically underscores the subject of different tools. I'm going to start in Romans 6, verse 13, to kind of set the tone for this. I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Christ, to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And in verse 13, it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. So we're to use our body here. Paul's telling us that our body itself is an instrument. And he's telling us also that we have a choice here. We can choose to use that instrument towards righteousness, or we can choose to use it towards unrighteousness. It's our choice. If we read and we really study out this passage, it becomes important that we know that the Greek word translated instrument there also means tool or weapon. It's God's tool. So when we talk about God's toolbox, that's us. We're the instruments that he uses to get his job done. Just as we would turn to a pair of pliers or vice grip or crescent wrench, whatever it is, to do our job in our everyday world. God uses us as his toolbox. We tend to think of a tool as being something that we have rather than something that we are. So the question here is, what kind of tool are we? What kind of an instrument are you or are we? A tool, an instrument that God holds in his hand to do his will, his human family. What kind of a tool does God have in his hands when he puts us to work on the job? First one I want to look at, it's one we don't normally carry in our toolbox. Ancient people had one. Police and firemen today have one. It's called a battering ram. They use ancients and policemen and firemen today. They would use a log or some other kind of hard object to break down a wall or a door. We've seen that in different movies. We've seen it maybe even in action with policemen and firemen where they're breaking down a door to get in somewhere. It's urgent. It's a destructive device. It forcibly removes barriers. As Christians, there are times that we need to break down barriers. Things that keep us and others away from God. We need to do so by taking our Bible as our instrument. God uses us as his instrument. Put the two together and speak in truth and in love. When we look at Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4 is maybe one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It talks about oneness, and then it talks about using, everyone has different abilities and tools. We start in verse 11 in chapter 4, and it reads, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, he gave some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in things into him who is the head of Christ." So we need to speak this truth. We need to do it with love. You know, I don't know if we hear it so much today, but I can remember hearing it back in the 50s and 60s. You Church of Christ people are nothing but Bible thumpers. And we've heard that terminology. And that's not a terminology that I like. I don't like to hear it. But I also want to be able to stand on God's word. Amen. I want to be able to go to the neighbor or talk across the fence to someone and say, "This is what God says." And be able to go to the passage and say, "You read it and you tell me what God says. Keep me out of the middle of it." You don't have to be called a Bible thumper to stand on God's word and teach the word of God. But we have to know how to do it. And it says here in Ephesians, speak that truth in love. Be kind about it. John 8:32. John 8:32, John says, "And the truth, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, we hear out in the world today, just tell the truth will set you free. The truth being spoke about, people don't understand, that's Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And John says, "You shall know that truth, and that truth shall make you free." So as we're using this as a battering ram, Satan trying to barricade people behind a wall of sin. God has given truth which will break down those barriers and free people. We talked about in class this morning, it's real easy to sit in this auditorium or sit in a classroom of people that are studying the Bible and saying do the right things and feel good about it. It's a whole different thing when you walk out that door and out into the world. It's easy to do it in here, but it gets tough when you walk out the door. And the reason for that is there's Satan put a barricade up. He wants you away from God. And he'll throw everything at you that he can throw in order to have you in his own grasp. That's the way Satan works. Bruce and I were talking a little bit before this worship tonight. Satan's got a whole vast toolbox too. We're not going to talk about his toolbox tonight, but he's got an enormous toolbox, as we do. So are you a battering ram? Can you knock down that force? Can you speak the truth in love with other people to bring them into Christ? Are you that battering ram? Next one I want to talk about is, are you a crowbar? A lot of us got crowbars in the toolbox, or maybe in the trunk of our car or pickup or whatever. And simply put, crowbars pry things apart. That can be used also to open a door. If you don't need the battering ram, you can use a crowbar. Crowbars pry things apart. We need spiritual crowbars. There are things we should separate from our thinking. There are things we should separate from our lifestyles. There are things we need to pull away from. Crowbar, can you pry yourself away from these things? One big example of this that we got to use the crowbar on is worldliness. Yeah, I get a lot of heads going up and down. We can get so involved with worldliness and Satan loving every minute of it because that's his grasp. And he'll grab you, trust me. Because all of a sudden all your thought is in worldly stuff instead of being a Christian. James 4:4. James addresses this. I like James. I appreciate James. It's plain, it's simple, and he's easy to understand. In verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulteresses, with an exclamation mark behind it. He's addressing them. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't get any more plain than that. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. You can't have it both ways. I think it's in Matthew where it said you can't serve two masters. That means you can't serve God and man or God and Satan. It doesn't work that way. You have to make a decision. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? The word enmity means deep-rooted hatred. So if you're loving the world, you in essence have a hatred towards God. Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Take that crowbar and pry yourself away from that worldliness that's going on. If you need the battering ram, use it. The next tool I want to look at is, are you a chisel? I don't know if everybody's aware of what a chisel is. A little shaft, and it's got a blade on the bottom, not a blade, but it's a sharp place on the bottom. You can have metal chisels, and you can have wood chisels. I use both. Most of you don't know, but I have a minor in shop and woodworking and metals and welding and all that kind of stuff. I lack of a major in it because I couldn't do second semester drafting. I got scared of it. But I've used all these things. I use a metal chisel to knock off hard parts off of a piece of metal. You can use a wood chisel to make all kinds of things in a piece of wood. So a chisel is a tool that does meticulous, detailed work. It can be different widths depending on what job you have to do. Its blade carves, it cuts hard materials or wood. and it has a variety of uses. So as we look at this chisel and all the uses that it's got, do you have the tenacity and the trust needed to use God's word and benefit from him to remake our lives into the Christian God wants us to be? That's what the chisel is going to do. It's going to knock off the hard places that we have. It can make it so that it's in the right position. Do we have that tenacity to do that? 2 Corinthians 3, Paul tells the church in Corinth, let's back up to verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his head so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror in the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from the glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord. People look at us, they see the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I look at it and I said, well, maybe there's some rough edges in our lives that need to be chiseled away in order to have that correct image. The remainder of things that have not been removed, that should be removed. Do we have those little things sticking on us like a barb on a piece of metal or a piece of wood that needs to be chiseled out? Do we have any of that that we need to chisel away so that when people look at us, they see the right image? Are you a level? There's several comedy things that can be said here. Are you really on the level? You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody say, they're a couple bubbles off center. The level. No, if any of you have ever used one. Levels are used to determine whether something is true, whether it's really on the level and as it ought to be. You can look at things. It may look level to the eye. You ever hang a picture on the wall and then another one over here and you're looking at it and you think, yeah, that's right. Then you back away and one of them's an inch or two higher than the other one. But it looked level to start with, didn't it? What may seem level to the touch might not be. We might touch something and say, yeah, that feels pretty level, but it might be slanted just a little bit. A level would determine the truth so as to enable correct action to be taken in a matter. So if you got a little bit off, you can raise it up, and a little bubble on the level will tell you when it's level. You don't have to be a couple bubbles off center. What may seem level to the touch may not be, but the level will determine the truth to enable corrective action to be taken. We live in not only a dishonest world, but a corrupt one. Now, I don't think many will disagree with that. And again, we can say and do all the right things sitting in here. Walk out that door, it's a whole different thing. And that's Satan's world. That's why it's evil. That's why it's corrupt. That's why he makes things seem so nice and so fun and so good. He wants you back in his grasp. We live in a dishonest and a corrupt world. We have to stay on a level. We have to keep a level playing field within our own mind. Many call good evil and evil good. Everybody should be familiar with this verse in Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. So the question becomes, can people find in us a reliable standard of right and wrong? Can they find that level that we should have as we reflect the principles of God's word? Can they look at us and know that we're reliable? Can they look at us and know that we're on the level? God's word can be used to gauge our lives and allow us to see where adjustments need to be made. And sometimes we need to make those adjustments to bring our own life back into compliance with what God's will is. Whether it be a battering ram, whether it be a chisel, whether it be a level, these are all things that we need to look at to put our own lives back in shape so that we're God's instrument when we're talking and other people are seeing us. Are you a plane? Not an airplane. One of the planes you use on woodworking. Little instrument about that long, usually about that wide. It's got a blade underneath. You use it. The plane makes rough surfaces smooth by repeating back and forth to make the surface smooth with the blade. And you can adjust the blade. There's a little knob up on top. You can adjust the blade whether you want it deeper or whether you want it shallower, depending on what you're working on and how much you have to take off. I'll go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who has spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Jesus, make his path straight." Okay, so that's also recorded in Mark 1:3, Luke 3:4, John 1:23. All those passages speak of John the Baptizer. And what's he doing? He's working and making the path of the Lord. He's working to make the path straight. He's teaching the proper thing and the baptism. He's making it so that we have a preparation of how to walk over that path. We have to remember, we're not the forerunners of Jesus. We are the followers of Jesus. We follow in his steps. Are you a plane? Do you smooth things out? 1 Peter 2:2. Peter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Back to what we were talking about with John the Baptist. He made the path. He cleaned the way. Peter's saying, for to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Christ walked on this earth, gave us an example to walk by. Peter's saying, we walk and follow in his footsteps. As we follow him, we're going to make the path safe for others to follow. If we know the right path, if we know the right things to be doing. Are you that plane that can smooth things out so people can see you and do the right thing and follow the right steps? And then lastly, I want to look at, are you a magnet? Magnets come in all sizes and shapes. A lot of us got little magnets on the refrigerator. Got to hold one of the kid's picture that he drew 30 years ago up on the refrigerator. A magnet's an object that draws and holds another object disposed towards such attraction. Bring it back together. Magnets can be used as tools themselves, but they're often a part of another tool. And if you've done any kind of woodworking or any kind of work around the house or whatever, you'll find that there's hammers that have magnets on the head of it. You'll find screwdrivers that have magnets so it holds a screw so you don't have to worry about getting it in the right place. Magnets are tools. They can also be incorporated one with another. So as a spiritual magnet, by living like Jesus, we can draw people to him. Go to Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13, it says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. Right back to where we started. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. Paul also referred to tools or weapons when talking to the Corinthian brethren. So we look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 3 and 7. 3 to 7. 2 Corinthians 6, starting verse 3. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Here Paul refers back to the armor of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We are weapons of our warfare. We're what God uses to help spread his word. We're what God uses to help teach those that don't know. Armor of righteousness, weapons of our warfare. In both cases, the tools or weapons are spiritual and figurative, yet with them we can help shape and build up those that are around us. So what kind of tool are you? Or what kind of tool are we? You can even relate back to some of the tools in the toolbox. Are you a pair of pliers or a vice grip that can hold things together? There's all kinds of different examples to be used. Are you a chisel? Can you get rid of the rough spots? Are you a battering ram? Can you batter down the worldly things and get away from them? That's all up to us. But you have to remember, we're God's toolbox. We're the ones God put here on this earth to teach and preach and tell others how to find the kingdom. God has a plan of salvation. You hear his word? You heard it. Second step is, do you believe it? You heard it, you believe it. Are you willing to repent of sin? Are you willing to put all that stuff away that you've been living with? Okay, you've heard it, you believed it. You're willing to do that? Do you really believe that Christ is the Son of God? Yeah, okay. Now, those four steps will lead you right into what you need to do, and that's to be baptized. And then as we talked this morning in class back in the foyer, righteous living. I'm going to put a sermon together on that too because it's a good subject. We'll talk about it. Romans 2 and verse 10, I believe it is, talks about living righteous for the rest of your life. What does that mean? I think we need to put some meaning to it. That may be the next sermon up on the agenda. But that's the steps of being in God's kingdom. And then we need to understand we are God's tools. We're the ones that teach others. You can't be lazy. Bruce talked this morning, I believe it was in his sermon, that that you can't just have faith. You have to work also. James, again, is pretty plain about that. So are we, no doubt we all have faith. We wouldn't be sitting here tonight. But are we willing to do the work that God requires of that faith? We all can talk a good game, but can we walk it? That's what it comes down to. We also have an invitation tonight that if you have things in your life that you need help with, things that you might need prayers for, we're here for you. If you don't let us know, it's hard to pray for you if we don't know that you have a problem. Prayers work. We talk to God every day. So if you have a need, let it be known as we stand and Michael leads us in something.